one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Tonight, I want to begin preaching on chapter 11 of the Bible and wind up with Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight, I call your attention to Genesis chapter 11. When I read this again today, I said, that looks like our world now. The 11th chapter of the Bible in Genesis, the book of the beginnings, and yet trouble is brewing. I want to show you a combination of words tonight that brought great confusion. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. What a blessing. Wouldn't that be a blessing now? First thing a missionary has to do now is what? Go to language school. That all came from this chapter here. Only the Lord knows how many languages and dialects we've got in the world as a result of this chapter right here. The most serious thing seemed like could have ever happened is happening in this chapter, and I'm going to show you why it happened. One language, one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Do you suppose that means they found a good, flat, level, simple, convenient place and said, now boys, this is it. This is as far as we ever intend to go. This is at least will be home base. We're going to stay right here. Now, anyhow, they said one to another. Now, here's where the trouble starts. Go to. Let us. There you are. Let us. That's the beginning of the trouble right there. And folks, this is the trouble with individuals, with homes and with churches and denominations right here. Let us. Didn't say let God, but let us. We're going to do something great. We're going to build us a city, and we're going to build us a name, and there's where your problem starts right there. Selfishness, that's all it is. That's what ruins children, getting what they want instead of what they need. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to. Let us build us. You noticing that? A city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You know what the problem was? Where there's no vision, the people perish. It was a lack of vision. You know, I could understand why I would have no provision if I had no vision. I believe that without vision, we ought not to have provision. Pro means far, doesn't it? The vision. What kind of a vision do you have tonight? So they said, what we do, we're going to do for us. We're satisfied to stay here. We don't know what's 10 miles down the road. We don't know what God might have built over yonder 200 miles away. But there's one thing about it. We're going to build us a city. And then we're going to build us a big, tall tower. And we don't want to get beyond seeing one another from that tower. We're going to have us such a city until we'll all live here, except maybe some will go a little farther, but we'll build that tower and we can watch everybody. And we can look, and what we're going to do, our little world is going to be in a radius of seeing from the tall tower. This is going to be the tallest building the world has ever known. And the first tall building. Here they are, building them a city. You know the Bible said in the closing days, be like the days of Lot. They'll be building. Business will be thriving. But you know, it seems that our economy has reached the place of stagnation because of money. People are not building homes now because they can't finance them. Businessmen are saying, man, I can't carry on my business on borrowed money because I don't make enough to pay the interest. Did you know that CDs at the bank, even for 6 months, are drawing 14% interest? I mean, in many places. Did you know that? Can you imagine 14% interest? Did you know that all a rich man's got to do is just to go to his house and retire and let his money work for him? Well, he'll get richer. Think about a man that invests $10 million. You think far over $1 million he gets for doing nothing. His money goes to work for him. Businessmen. But dear friends, don't forget what your money does for you when it's invested for God. In terms of immortality and souls and the wonderful good that it does. Well, we're going to build us a city. We're going to build us a name. And we're going to build us a tower. Isn't that about what people are doing today? Did you know people, they never consider what kind of living conditions. They consider the salary. I want to give you a simple illustration. I don't think you'd accuse me of maybe doing this, but because you know that there's no way you can get rid of me. The Lord just had to kill me to get rid of me and get me out of down here. Not enough for you to run me off. I don't think you want to, but I mean you couldn't. I mean, you know I'm right where I feel like I ought to be. I mean, I wouldn't swap jobs. A man wrote me the other day, said, and another man talked to me, said, Brother Wolf, we'd sure like for you to be President of the United States. Well, I believe we need one. And I'd make a good president if God made me be president. But boy, he'd sure have to put the pressure on to make me take that kind of demotion. I mean, only the Lord, you couldn't, he'd have to do it. I'm right where I want to be. I believe I'm where I ought to be. I believe I'm where God wants me to be. My future is brighter than it's ever been before. All right. They said, we're going to make us a name. We're not going to talk about God's name. He's the one that brought us and blessed us and made us. But we're going to make us a name. And notice something else. Verse 7. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city. Heaven's inspector comes. Leave a look at the city. Hadn't been a sight the way that government feels like it's got to inspect everything that man does. School, home, church, business, farmer, and all the rest of it. The government says, but let me tell you something, the chief inspector's coming one of these days, and the inspector is going to inspect the inspector. And what are they going to say when Jesus comes? The wrath of God is turned loose on this sinful world. Now, the Bible said God came down to see the city which the children of men, get it, the children of men built it. Who was it built it? Children of men built it. Didn't talk about the children of God built it. The children of men have always built it, the wrong city. I don't want to live in a city very long that man builds. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees because he got tired of living in a city that men built. He said, I'm looking for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. I want to find a city that's permanent, not passing. Dear friend, I remind you, as beautiful as the sparkling city by the sea, Corpus Christi, Texas, with all of its tea heads and with all of its parks and with all of its water, she's a passing city. Here we have no continuing city. So the Lord came down to inspect. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to. He used their language, didn't he? He said, all right, go to. Let us go down. Let us. Who is us? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us go down. And so it looks like God came down and went back and got the Holy Spirit and His Son and said, let's all go down. And we're going to confound their language. Now you talk about confusion. It started. As I thought about that, I wondered, how far did the confusion go? Now, you can decide, I've got my conviction, I'll speak it. Do you suppose that God told a husband to speak one language and his wife to speak another? Do you believe that God gave a different language to mother and dad and a new language to the children? What would be your idea of conviction? Do you believe, like me, that God would not separate the family? Amen. That could have been child abuse, couldn't it? That could have been... Now, I believe God let the family stay intact. He might have separated neighbors, but I don't believe He separated families. He might have separated some kinfolks, but not families. I believe God started the family unit. God's still interested in the family. I don't care what communism and that bunch of atheists and infidels say. I still believe that God's interested in the family. And when you tear up the family, you've torn up everything. That's why these girls and boys have suffered. Nearly every one of them. Products of divorced homes. Make up your mind. God's way's right. And to disobey the Lord and break up the commandments of God brings confusion. And this preacher's not going to endorse any kind of compromise in his ministry. And if you get some convictions while you're here about your personal private habits and your home and the kind of man you want to live with, that'll be a lasting blessing for you and your children. Now, I am not preaching bitterness towards your stepmother or your stepdaddy. All I can say is pray for them. Just pray for them. And to show as much respect as you possibly can. But I want to say something else. No stepdaddy has a right to molest his stepdaughter. That's carrying this thing too far, and I give you the right to bust his nose wide open. I believe a girl has a right to protect her own virtue from a dirty stepdaddy that disrespects somebody that he has no right to touch. All right? God said, we're going to go down. And they did. They confused their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Oh, this generation of Babel builders. You built your own little tower. You said, I'm going to do my thing, no matter what mother says, daddy said. I'm building my Babel. You wound up where? Confusion. Confusion. There's never been a generation of as confused children as we have now, because parents are confused. I think the President of the United States lives a life of confusion. This whole world, and everybody knows that the fuse to the stick of final dynamite that will annihilate most of the world and kill a third of the people in 24 hours. Everybody knows that fuse is burning now. There was a time when the preacher'd stand and say, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And the day of Jacob's trouble, the scientist would sit there and laugh and said, poor, simple-minded minister. He didn't know any better. And just kindly walk out the door and snub him a little and say, well, God bless you. Sorry you don't know any better than to say that one of these days the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. And there's going to be such wholesale destruction. And the scientist said that could never be. There's no way for that. Now then, about a generation later, the scientist has come up in the pulpit and said, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. The atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the germ disease, and the carrying of missiles and all the judgment's coming. And the preacher sits out in the pew and said, have mercy, pity on the dear fella. Hadn't it changed? Yeah. Now then, the preacher's gone to sleep in the pew, and the scientist is up, balling up his fist, warning the people that judgment is coming. Now, he's not saying Jesus is coming. He says judgment's coming. But brother, let me tell you something. The thing that thrills this old preacher is Jesus is coming before judgment's coming. He's going to beat the devil's judgment and trouble to the draw, and Christians will be gone. That's our hope. That's our blessed hope. That's the hope that purifies us on the inside. Now you say, well, I don't believe it. Well, hang around. We'll see who's right. Let us go down and confound the language. So they did. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. It was a missionary move on God's part. I believe I'll take time for one more chapter 11 tonight. And that'll be in Exodus. And I'm claiming these things for our good and God's glory. Chapter 11, next book. And we'll go through the books as we feel led. Chapter 11, I think, has a message for our church and for us and for all of the work. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, He'll let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. When he finally gets ready to get rid of you, he'll thrust you out. He'll say, get going. Now, I preached the other night on Kadesh Barnea being the gateway to the promised land. And I preached on pilgrims or vagabonds. People that are going somewhere are folks that are just drifting. Just drifting. Vagrants, if you please. People arrested. I told you about the man arrested for being a vagrant. And when they shook him down, $187,000 came out of his pocket. There he was sleeping on a bench in the bus station. $187,000 in his pocket. But he's hanging on to his money. I'm telling you, sometimes I almost feel like that instead of paying $39 for a motel room. Now we'll get used to that. I always read the menu in the motel room just to see what price has gone up to. $2.50 for a hamburger. $9.95 for a steak dinner. 50 cents for a cup of caffeine. Huh? This world's crazy. That's right. $1 for a bottle of soda pop. I tell you, judgment's coming. It's already here. My prediction is there's going to be motels for sale. Because the people, listen, they'll be sleeping in the back seat of their car. They won't have the money to pay. Can you imagine paying $38 to $40 for one night? That's enough to keep me awake all night. Thank God for my friends where I can stay. Listen. We're going to get something here. Speak! Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now then, brother, God said before y'all leave, I want you to go knock on those Egyptian doors or ring that musical doorbell that'll play six tunes. And when the little maid comes to the door in her beautiful uniform and sees a little slave Israelite woman standing there and said, what do you want? And that little Israelite woman says, I want your mistress's jewel box and all of her diamonds and pearl necklaces, silver and gold. And that little woman standing there in her little homemade calico dress and saying, I want the jewels. I want the finest thing you've got in your house. Go get them and bring them to me. Can you imagine? Isn't that stupid? Isn't that silly? Why, she's got those things insured for $500,000. And I imagine this little woman, little old maid, she went back to her mistress and said, there's a crazy woman out here at the door. You better call your secret service man and throw her in the calaboose or jail or something. I mean, she's crazy. Well, what did she say? She said she wanted all your jewelry. Think of that. Every bit of it. Every string of pearls, every diamond ring, and all your husband's diamond stick pins, and all of his diamond-studded watch bands and everything. And the mistress of the house said, I feel a strange feeling coming over me. She said, you're making me feel strange. What are you about to do? She said, go get that box of jewelry and take them to her and thank her and tell her she can have them. You say, wait a minute, Brother Olaf. What in the world's taking place? God can make the devil's crowd turn loose. Amen. And I've said for years, if God's people don't give it, God will make the devil's crowd turn loose of it. I'd rather God's people do it. I'd rather the churches do it. But if they don't, God will do it some other way.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is Chapter 11 of the Bible. If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3668. 3668. We'd like to have you give us the call letters to the radio station that you're now listening to and also today's date. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. Now then, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And to use your credit card, 1-800-772-7507. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is A Message in Song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.